You're listening to the Filthy Fantasy Football Show.
Everybody, welcome into another exciting episode of the Filthy Fantasy Football Show, a safe space for all you foul-mouthed fantasy players out there. As always, it's your boys, King Josh, Shasha King, Big Rome, and the Fantasy Fish.
What the fuck is going on, guys?
How's it going?
I've missed your faces.
Oh, terribly. So much.
Yes, indeed.
It's, but we're getting close to the season. Got a lot of charity, contest. Fish and I are both in Scott Fishbowl and Warrior Bowl, and Rome didn't sign up for either of them on time.
As per the usual. As per the usual.
We could have been three.
I'm too good. They didn't want me.
But to top it off, Fish, you're going to the Fantasy Football Expo. Yeah, baby. Mm. As he takes a drag from his fucking weed.
I was caught and I coughed too. Yeah, and you know, courtesy of the guys over at Get Right. Got me a VIP ticket, and I said, you know what? If I, they got me the, you know, the more expensive parts, the flight and the hotels. But I was like, they already got me the ticket. I got to go. My wife was on board, so I bought my stuff before she changed her mind.
I'm so excited for you, man. And then, like, we'll try to get some merch made prior to your departure so you can hand some shit out to the people out there. But, yeah, shouts out to the Get Right Fantasy Network. Love those guys, Mike and Rasta and all those fun, beautiful people over there. We've even talked about collaborating with them one of these days. It'd be the what was it, Get Right Filthy or Get Right Filthy Network for a day.
I can dig it.
That would be a fun time.
Yeah, it would be fun. Yeah, they're all a bunch of good guys. But yeah, it's just life happens. You know what's funny? It's summertime. Football's right around the corner. The only thing is I just don't like that I'm sweaty all the time.
I mean, listen.
No, it's the worst, dude.
Yeah, we're all used to it at this point. We're all big dudes. Fish is a skinny big dude. But he is in Utah. It's not necessarily hot there, I don't think. But who knows?
It's not as hot as where you are, probably. But it's hot to me.
I've just grown accustomed to being sweaty all the time.
Yeah, that's true. If it's like, if it's anything... If it's above 68, I'm going to sweat.
I was going to say, don't go over fucking 70, because for sure at 70 is the cutoff for me.
I mean, the only nice thing is, you know, you just get that nice tit sweat everywhere, and it's good. Keeps your stomach cold.
But I fell asleep on my couch the other day, and my back was all sweaty when I woke up. Like, it was, like, wet sweaty, too. Not like, it's one thing to be, like, a little sweaty. It was like someone took a washcloth and smeared it on my back. It was disgusting.
That's like, do you ever like sleep in bed and then you wake up and you just see like the perfect outline of your sweat mark on your fucking bed? You're like, that's disgusting. Like, you're just like, how does anybody lay in bed with you, you fucking pig? Like, you look over at your poor wife and you're like, oh God, I feel so bad for you. Like, as I roll over on top of you and thrust into you like four or five times before I fall asleep again. That's love, baby. yeah, Scott Fishbowl. That's pretty exciting too. I'm going to be picking at the 101 spot out of the TGI Fridays division. Shout out to the home league. They would understand the reference to that. That was a very special place in our hearts. I took the 101 spot just because I wanted to guarantee a quarterback. I mean, it's tough because what's funny is with the way the scoring. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you don't want to take Kelce 101.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of people are trying to argue Kelce is the 101, but just. Okay, so let's say you take Kelce at 101. You try to grab a quarterback at 212. Then there's a third round reversal, so which is also another thing you have to kind of account for. So instead of having the 3-1, I'm not picking again until 312. But the thing is, if I don't take Kelce, if I took Kelce at 1, that means my quarterback one at the end of round two is going to be like maybe Dak falls there, which is gross. So like Dak and Kelce, or do I want Patrick Mahomes? And then a couple rounds later, I'll grab Dallas Goedert in like the sixth. I'd much rather go that route.
I guess I'm higher on Dak than you guys.
If Dak falls to 212,
that's besides the point though. The point is, like, do you pick a quarterback or Kelce, right? Like, yeah. Where are you going to get more value? I think the argument can be made for either, but
I just think
I'm picking the 104, so I don't think I'll have the choice. I think it's going to be a quarterback.
Well, because the thing is, within the top three picks, I bet Kelsey's one of them. So then you'll have your choice of, because the three big quarterbacks are obviously Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and then because of there's no negative points this year, and then they do a point per carry for quarterbacks. So Jalen Hurts is massively in the mix. You know, I think a dark horse, it'd probably be way too early, but if it like the 212 or the 312, I might even take a flyer on Justin Fields because he's going to run a lot too. So
you could,
yep.
But it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited. Big Rome, we hope you get in. There's still a little bit of time.
We'll see.
You signed up way too late. I gotta remind you earlier, like your mother, be like, Alex, did you sign up for the Scott Fish Bowl?
You could sign up for next year right now.
That's true. They are doing signups for next year.
Can they just carry it over so I don't have to do it all again? Yes, I
actually, once you fill out the stuff, you never have to fill it out ever again. You just have to click log in, like, sign up. Yeah,
nice. Sign up.
Yeah, awesome. And just make sure that the information's still correct. That's it. But
consider it done.
But Fish, you know, actually 104 is not a bad spot to be in either, especially because also you don't have to wait as long for a pick like I do, because that's the terrible part. That's the thing I actually hate, because it's a slow draft. That's the thing I'm not looking forward to the most, because you know, if you can have the 212 and 3-1, it's like, well, at least I have two picks back to back. But it's, I get the 212, then I get the, now I have to wait all the way to the fucking 312. It's gonna be, I'll make three picks in like 4 days, 5 days. Like, it's gonna be forever.
Well, you never know. Hopefully you get in a league where everybody's excited about it, you know, and they fly. What'll happen is they'll fly through the first like four rounds, and then they'll start slowing down.
The one thing that's interesting though is the 12 people in my league, there's like four or five of them are from England. So I don't know what the time difference is over there. I wish them a happy 4th of July yesterday.
It's very considerate of you.
Yeah. I was like, hey, congratulations, guys.
Happy Thank you for letting July. Us leave.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me have the day off of work. But,
oh, that's too funny.
What league are you in, Fish?
I'm in the Outback Steakhouse League.
Outback Steakhouse.
I don't know too much about anybody in our division yet. We've talked a little bit, but not a ton. Just some courtesy hellos.
I like how Rome got his food delivered mid-show, and he's like muted his mic trying to open his food.
What'd you get, Rome?
Listen, guys, I got some world famous Gus's fried chicken. And I just need to open it before these fries get to the point of moist that they become inedible. Other than that, I'll be right back.
Just you can eat. It's fine. A little ASMR during the show.
Yeah, you gotta be.
And then for Warrior Bowl, I'm in the Wonder Woman League, which I'm excited about because
the Wonder. I like actually titties. I was just tweeting back and forth with Warrior Bowl. I missed my invite because it went to my spam.
The same thing happened to me.
I am in the Gurkha division.
Well, it's funny because the guys from Warrior Bowl actually DM'd me on Twitter. Is like, hey, bro, you haven't signed up yet. And I'm like, the fuck are you talking about? Like, I never got an email from you guys. And then sure enough, I checked the spam folder. And it's like, oh, here's your league invite. And I'm like, oh, shit. Because the guy was like, if you don't want to be in the league, let me know. Like, we'll replace you with someone else. I'm like, no, you son of a bitch. I'm going to win this thing. Even though it's all for charity, no money's involved, I'm still going to win this.
I am also in the ACG Veterans Invitational, and I am in the same division as Rasta.
Ooh, I love the ACG guys. I actually did that league with them last year.
Yeah,
Rome, you did it too.
What's that?
That Elimination League.
Oh, I sure did. That was fun.
That was fun.
I actually really enjoyed that.
That was fun. Yeah, football's right around the corner, so hopefully we'll have more regular content for you guys coming out. You know, we'll do some mock drafts. We'll bring back our most famous off-season segment of the Hot and Bothered, of positional players we like. But for tonight's episode, we're going to talk about some risers and fallers. So basically, how this works is guys that were studs last year, that they still might be good, but they probably, we don't think they're going to finish quite as high as they did the you know, and we'll just kind of go from there. We'll just give it a feel, you know, just see how it goes. See what feels right. Since you guys told me that you weren't prepared, I'll go ahead and get us started. So the quarterback, I actually think, okay, no, don't get me wrong. I don't think he's going to be a stud, but Derek Carr finished last year as the quarterback 16, at least in the way our league scoring is. I don't know what he was in yours, and I don't fucking care how he finished in your league. This is off of our scoring format, but he finished 16 in ours. And I just, in a world in New Orleans with Michael Thomas, A.T. Perry, Chris Olave, Juwan Johnson, I just don't see a world where he's going to be outside maybe 12 to 14. I just think he'll be better than he was last year. I mean, he also got benched at some point in time during his tenure with the Raiders. But I just think that the Saints are going to be, they're going to be throwing the ball, especially with Alvin Kamara, who's probably going to miss a few games. I think they're going to be a pass heavy offense. So I really think Derek Carr will improve. And, you know, he was an MVP candidate a couple years ago. I mean, I personally don't think Derek Carr is that great, but he has the ability to throw for, you know, 4,030 touchdowns. And Chris Olave, you know what, like, this might be a hot take, but God, of last year's wide receiver class, I think Chris Olave is like the best one. Like, because Garrett Wilson's a legit stud, but dude, Chris Olave is doing some special shit out there, man. So,
I agree. I agree with that 100%. I have a guy, I have a faller. I think there's a guy who's going to fall very, very far from grace, and that is Geno Smith. Geno Smith finished in like the top fucking five.
He was quarterback five. Yeah.
This will not continue. There's no way. He came out of nowhere. I just can't see it being. He may be decent, but he's not going to be a top five.
You know, it's funny. He was actually my faller too, just because I like, especially with them drafting Zach Charbonnet, they're going to run.
Right.
I mean, yes, they did draft JSN. They still have DK Metcalf, and but the thing is, also my point that I've made during the season was, Geno Smith was like a career backup. He had like one okay year in his career, but like then he was a backup guy.
Yeah.
And you know, like kind of like my, and I don't want to say I hate him, because I don't hate him as a player, but like my thoughts on Cordarrelle Patterson. So he was a stud for like 1 year, and then it's like, okay, well, how come he never was prior? You know, it's just,
yeah.
I agree. I don't, I mean, he still might end up in the top 12 just because of the players around him, but like, he's not going to be a top five quarterback. There's no way.
Yeah.
Yep, I agree.
You got anybody, Fish?
I do. I'm kind of, well, there's kind of a couple, I think, that can move up here a little bit, but first, this guy's, I'm looking at sleeper, so I don't know which one you're looking at, but finished as quarterback, I think 13, if I counted correctly. I don't know why Sleeper can't put a number next to things.
Yeah, fuck you, but, Sleeper. Fix it.
But Trevor Lawrence, you know, he's coming into his third year. He's made positive progressions every year. I think he'll just continue to do so. Jacksonville's actually starting to look like a decent team. They aren't looking like Jacksonville of the past. He finished as eight, but I really think he could still move up. I think he could be a top five quarterback should things pan out for him down there in Jacksonville. And another one who almost has to move up, and I think that, you know, some people kind of forget about him because the situation. But Deshaun Watson, I mean, he couldn't finish as a top quarterback because he was suspended for half the league for, you know, poking his butt. But
yeah,
if people forget about this guy, like, he has potential to really be in the top 10. I mean, he kind of was a rocky when he came back last year, but, you know, he's got some games back under his belt. He's got some decent targets there in Cleveland. Not the best, but I think he could, you know, work his way into the top 12.
I can absolutely see that. There's a couple of guys here that I think can rise. Lamar Jackson, if he's playing pissed off, like he's probably going to be. I don't know. I could see him being, I don't know where he finished exactly. I know it was below fucking Daniel Jones and Tua.
He also missed a handful of games.
He did. Yeah, he's injured. But also, Russell Wilson is probably going to not be nearly as pedestrian as he was last year. And I, again, I touched on it on the beginning of the show. I think Dak Prescott is probably going to be just fine. That offense hasn't really, I mean, other than losing Zeke, is that even that bad? It just means he's going to throw the ball more. Let him. Let him throw the ball more. They got Brandon Cooks, right? Is that who they went out and got?
Yeah, they got Brandon Cooks. And Michael Gallup's supposed to be healthy.
Yeah.
Healthy.
And they got weapons.
I mean, they did lose Dalton Schultz, but I don't know how much that actually affects the passing offense. I know that Schultz was a bit. They brought in what, Jake Ferguson and that other guy.
Yeah.
The fucking Shoemaker.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And actually, I agree with you on Deshaun Watson Fish. Like, there's just, I mean, he might be a creep and kind of a piece of shit, but I think, like, with all the offseason distraction away from him, now played most of a season, and no one's really talking about the, you know, 63 accounts of sexual assault and the fingers in his butthole, alleged fingers in his butthole. Do you think Deshaun Watson actually would, like, lay on his back and lift his legs up like a baby, or would he flip over onto his hands and knees and kind of, like, face down, ass up his butthole?
I think he mixed it up a little bit, you know.
Got to keep variety. On their toes. Yeah, got to keep on their toes.
It would just be funny with just picturing Deshaun Watson's, like, 6'6", long fucking legs just, like, held up above his, and just like, yeah, girl, get in there. Oh, Watson. All right, let's talk about some running backs. A riser, I think, this year is Najee Harris. He finished last year right outside the top 12. But, you know, they beefed up the O-line, and he played hurt a lot of the year. But then towards the end of the year, he kind of had a resurgence. And I think, I mean, is he going to be a, you know, because he was like a, was it 2 years ago? He was close to the most rushing yards in the league or something like that.
Yeah.
Am I making that up? But my point being, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to be like a top 5 or 6 guy, but I think he could crack the top 12 this year. Because now, you know, he's throwing some passing work. He's healthier. The O-line got better. Kenny Pickett maybe takes some steps forward. You know, they brought in Allen Robinson, who I'm not saying he's going to be great, but sometimes it's helpful to have that veteran leadership. I heard Allen Robinson's a good locker room guy. You know, he might not be what he was in Jacksonville, and that's okay. You know, George Pickens is obviously a stud. Deontay Johnson's a stud. So I think Najee Harris could easily find his way back into the top 12 again. So, absolutely. I mean, if you have him in Dynasty, you know, I think he's going to recover. And then if in redraft, I wouldn't think you're completely insane if you drafted Najee Harris, you know, picks 10 through 12 or like the turn in the beginning of the second round. I wouldn't think you're that crazy.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. Here's a guy. I'm going to touch on a guy here because I actually think he will for sure finish above where he is. Now, he missed time. He missed a decent little chunk of time, but still played in 11 games last year, and he hurt a lot of people's hearts. If you guys can guess who I'm talking about, it's Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor, like I said, he played 11 games. He only got in the end zone 4 times, and he ran for 800 yards. I can't see that happening again. I think that they are absolutely going to keep running the ball in Indy. They're going to have to.
Stole mine.
It's all my bad, bro. They're going to have to. They can't just say, all right, Anthony Richardson, here's the fucking keys, kid. Go do it. They have to rely on Jonathan Taylor's abilities. The guy ran for 1,800 yards 2 years ago in 2021. Like, he's what so the fuck? Good. He's so good. So all of that potential is there. All of the just skill in general is there. He's going to easily rise up from where he's at. Again, I'm on Sleeper, so they don't do numbers, but he is way the fuck down there. You know. And again, he played on only 11 games, but he still ran for 800 yards in those 11 games. It's not that bad.
Mm-hmm. And the Colts were a fucking mess last year.
They were a disaster.
They were bad.
An absolute shit show.
The Colts is like my asshole after like a couple hours of yard work, and I had like 2 scoops of pre-workout, man.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I think there's some obvious answers here, too. That I can cover, but I think everybody's going to know why these people should move up. It's kind of like Jonathan Taylor, right? Like they're probably going to move up, but it's more so because of the situation. But I really like, you know, Breece Hall. He's coming back from an injury, but he was looking great. Another one here, though, like James Cook, they didn't really use him for like half the season, so he's bound to have a better year. Now, will he finish in the top 12? Probably not, but he could be a nice flex running back.
But and Singletary's gone.
Yeah, and Brian Robinson, you know, he got shot in the ass, so he missed part of the season. He looked good.
Oh, Antonio Gibson.
Antonio Gibson was just out there shooting people. I can tell you who I think is going to fall. And you guys probably already know this. And this guy's already – actually, I don't know if he'll fall. He'll probably be like – I think he'll finish around the same place he finished last year. And a lot of people are saying that he's going to finish – some people are taking him as their RB1. But Cam Akers is not going to be an RB1. And if I'm wrong, then put it on fantasy receipts. Dude, I don't care. But I do not – I haven't liked him ever. Like, I haven't liked him ever. He's showing flashes, but, like, it's a flash. A lot of people show flashes. I need consistency out of a running back, and Cam Akers is terribly inconsistent.
Every team that I have Cam Akers on, I'm trying to get rid of him, but nobody, like... And my thing is, like, I want... Like, I'm not just going to give him away for free, but, like, God, the fucking offers I get. I just don't want him. I just don't. But, yeah, Cam Akers, I think the Rams just aren't good anymore. Like, Stafford's neck is going to fall off or something. You know, he almost retired.
So I mean, I think that's part of it, O-line. Too, but I just don't think he's very good.
And then, like, for fallers, these ones are obvious. The running backs 8, 9, and 10 were Dalvin Cook, Aaron Jones, and Jamal Williams. I don't think any of those guys are going to be top 12 guys this next. Like, Dalvin Cook, he's still a stud, but I don't think he's going to be a running back one this year just because, well, one, we don't know where he signs. I mean, if he goes to Miami,
crowded backfield.
Yeah. And, you know, if he goes to Buffalo,
a crowded backfield?
Miami?
In Miami, dude, they'll mix in Jeff Wilson, Raheem Mostert, and A-Chain. It'll be a combination of everybody. Plus, I think there's an injury concern for Dalvin Cook because, you know, he had the shoulder surgery this offseason. He's allegedly healthy now, but he's missed time throughout his entire career. And then Minnesota didn't want to bring him back. Granted, he also wanted a lot of money.
Yeah, they didn't want to pay him. They probably would have because I think he is vastly better than Madison. All that being said, if he goes to Miami, which I believe is what's going to happen, because they did make an offer. I just don't know if he wants to sign for that offer quite yet, but I don't think anybody else is barking up that tree. Dalvin Cook is being signed there to play running back. He's not being signed there to sit behind fucking A-Chain. He's not going to sit behind Wilson or Mostert. They're going to run his ass into the ground.
Nah, until that team's he's made for speed. If Tua's healthy, they're just going to be just hucking it down the field like they were all last year when Jalen Waddle and Tyreek
Imagine Hill. The running lanes for a speedy fucker like Dalvin Cook. Yeah, I mean, a lot. If he goes to Miami, I'm excited. If he goes anywhere else,
goes to Miami, do you think he could be a running back one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I do.
I can see it. But then, like, it would just depend how much they use him, right? Because there is good chance that if Dalvin Cook goes to Miami, that they say, all right, we're going to use him as a workhorse, and these other guys are going to, you know, be change of pace guys. Like, he's probably better than all of them, even if
he is better than all those guys. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying even at his age. What do you guys think of Ken Walker? He finished last year, like, I think around 15, standard 18 or something in PPR. Like,
I think he falls.
With Charbonnet coming in, he's got to fall, right?
He has to. Because, like, the thing is, they have basically the same body type, but they're two kind of different running backs. Ken Walker is more of the home run hitter. So I see him playing between the 20s. But Charbonnet is that powerful, thick in the ass, low to the ground running back, even though he's like 6'2. Like, I think he's going to be the red zone guy. And so, like, and which Ken Walker is totally capable because he broke off like 2 or 3 40-plus yard touchdowns last year. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely in the realm of possibility that he'll have the most fantasy points. But I think they're going to just cannibalize each other's fantasy production. And, you know, I hate to say it, but I think Ken Walker, you know, if he was somewhere between 15 and 18 last year, he might end the year somewhere between 24 and 30. And then Charbonnet will probably be somewhere between like 28 and like 36. Like,
I believe that's accurate.
Yeah. I can see that. Yep.
Which sucks because I love Ken Walker. If if let's say Charbonnet was never drafted by Seattle, dude, Ken Walker, he'd be like my running back, like seven or yep. six. He'd be so high up on my board because he's so fucking good. But, you know, I mean, we'll see. Who knows? Because when they drafted Rashad Penny, they still used Chris Carson as their workhorse. So you never know. Like, they might just have Zach Charbonnet as just kind of like an insurance back, which seems silly because you just drafted a running back the year prior in the second round. Third round.
Both of them were second round picks.
Yeah. So, I mean, you spent massive draft cap, although Rashad Penny was a first round pick. So I don't, and they didn't use him.
And they did. Well, that was, a lot of that was on him, though. He was fucking hurt all the time. And that, listen, I don't ever wish injury on any of them. And my one share of Walker, I handcuffed him already with Charbonnet, which thank God for that. Yeah. Because if one of them goes down, it's the other one to the fucking moon. And like I said, I'm not trying to wish injury or want that, but my goodness, it's about the only way that real fantasy value can
happen. For what it's worth, though, when Rashad Penny is healthy, I could see why he was a first-round draft pick. The guy's so fucking good when he's healthy. He's so good. Unfortunately, he's been healthy like eight games his entire career, some shit like that.
Yeah, like a five-year career already, eight games.
But I also brought up Aaron Jones. I just think with the new look, Green Bay, and they're trying to give more game to A.J. Dillon. And I mean, I don't know how much Jordan Love checks. Like, Jones, what saves his value is his PPR, you know, especially in a PPR league, his pass-catching skills. But, I mean, if Jordan Love's not a check-down guy, I just don't know how much value Aaron Jones is going to have. Like, say he finished his nine last year, which was shocking. And then Jamal Williams, for obvious reasons, I don't think he's going to be a top 10 running back. Kamara is going to miss time. I think Kendrick Miller is going to – I think Jamal Williams will be the starter. I mean, Fish, you're the Saints guy, but I think Williams will be the starter, but Miller's going to get play.
Yeah, and then Kamara's going to come back, and one of them's going to get bounced out. I think we're missing one riser here, and I think it just has to be based off his finish last year. He finished right around 20 in both PPR and standard, just outside the top 20. DeAndre Swift.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to the Eagles, who is really a good fit for him. I think he's from Philadelphia, but they don't really have any other running backs. Like, their other running backs are Rashad Penny, who's going to be hurt, Trey Sermon, he's never been a thing, and then Kenneth Gainwell and Boston Scott. Like, they're all right, but Swift's substantially better than all these guys. And he doesn't, agreed. They weren't using him in Detroit, especially in the red zone, which he probably still won't get used in the red zone, but I think he'll be used a lot more in Philadelphia, and plus he's on a better offense that could score more points. So it's almost like he has to go up unless there's some injury or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that's a good call. Let's see. Leonard Fournette, do you think he finishes the top 12 running back next year?
I don't think he gets picked up.
I'm kidding. I think he's done. You know what's going to happen? He's going to be that guy who someone's going to get hurt, and then he'll just be like the fat, out of shape running back that they bring in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'll be Eddie Lacy.
Yeah. You know, and then like an honorable mention here, I'm going to say David Montgomery. I know the Lions did bring in Roschon Johnson, but I don't know.
No, not Roschon.
Or excuse me, Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah.
I'm getting Chicago confused with Detroit because Montgomery just left Chicago. But anyways, I think Gibbs is going to be heavily utilized in the passing game, but I think like all the red zone is going to go to Dave Montgomery, and that was very fruitful for Jamal Williams last year. Again, he was running back 10. So, I mean, is Jamal Williams going to end up, or excuse me, is David Montgomery going to end? How many touchdowns does Jamal Williams have? Oh, hang on, let me look at this.
A lot.
He had 17 touchdowns last year. So is Dave Montgomery going to get 17? Probably not, but could he get 12, 13? Maybe. And I think David Montgomery is going to have a lot of value this year. So like, especially like in like the mid late rounds. Mm-hmm. I haven't looked at ADP. When we do our hot and bothered, spoiler alert, he might be one of my running backs that got me all hot and bothered. Cause that ADP is going to be super like low, but you can get maximum payout for that. Cause like I said, Gibbs is clear. I think Gibbs is definitely the better running back and they're going to use him in the passing game, but Gibbs is also kind of a smaller guy. So like, you know, red zone is going to be Montgomery. Plus they paid him money. They're going to use him.
Right.
So, all right, wide receivers. I love the guy, but last year Christian Kirk finished inside the top 12, and with the addition of Calvin Ridley, I do love your pick of Trevor Lawrence Fish. I think Trevor Lawrence is an absolute stud, but I just don't see a world where Christian Kirk's going to be in the top 12 again. There's a lot of mouths to feed now. They brought in Calvin. They traded, you know, draft capital and like monies and shit for Calvin Ridley. I think he's going to be heavily utilized. So with, you know, the emergence of Kirk and Zay Jones looked pretty good, and Evan Engram looked really good. I think all wide receivers are going to be very good real life NFL wide receivers, but I think it's going to be tough sledding in the fantasy world for these players. Cause I think it's just going to be tough for them. But
yeah, that was the guy I was looking at for sure. Christian Kirk was, he's not going to be quite at that level of play. I would also say you might see a little bit of a hit for McLaurin.
Yeah, it's, I could see that.
Just because of the huge surge of your boy Dotson, one of my favorites.
Your boy, he's still one of your favorites.
You know, I think that he came on last year, and I think McLaurin. It really depends. I think we'll see what happens with Howell. I know that, you know, me and you are working a pending trade with him, and you just don't want to let him go because there's just so much unknown on what he's going to be. And in that offense, could he be? Could he just chuck it down the field? He's got the receivers to do it. It'd be interesting. It'd be interesting. But I definitely can see him not being quite as good as he scored here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what's interesting about receivers? It seems to be a lot more stable of a position. Like the guys here at the top, they're probably going to be towards the top again. I could see Kupp not finishing. What was he last year? Number two?
No, he was. Yeah, he got hurt. He ended at 24.
Okay, but he was probably pacing for like the top two, right?
He was. So,
I could see him dropping just because, like, you know, the offense there is kind of regressing. He's 30 years old, but like he might take a step back from where he was at when he was playing, right?
I think Davante Adams falls this year a little bit too. He finished at 3.
Changing quarterback.
And, yeah, changing quarterback. And plus, Jimmy G's technically not healthy yet, or is he? I haven't seen any updates for that yet.
I couldn't tell you. He's just not a good quarterback either.
Yeah. So it's just, and that makes me sad because I love Davante Adams. He's been one of my favorite wide receivers in the NFL. But and he, like you just said on Cooper Kupp, you know, Davante Adams is 30. You know, and that's kind of where it starts to fade. And
I mean, that's where speed starts to fade, and that's he hasn't. That's not his game. Neither of them. Him or Kupp. I don't think they're not speed based. Like I could see a drop off for a guy like Tyreek Hill, right? He hits 30, he slows down a little bit. All of a sudden he's not the most dominating player as he was. I see a guy like Adams who's all route running, guy like Kupp, all route running and all able to feel out a defense and understand what he's looking at. That's their game. I can definitely see him still being productive to 35, both of them. For a long time after 30, because they're not based on an attribute of speed or strength.
Yeah, I can see that.
I agree. I think the biggest thing for me is like the teams regressed as a whole. When teams regress, you see a downtick. I mean, Cooper Kupp had 11 touchdowns. Like he could do that again, just as easily. I'm not saying that it won't happen, especially if he has a full season under his belt. But it's also. Like, I don't expect the Rams to be the Rams of the past. So I could also see him getting, like, 8 touchdowns, still being a fine receiver, you know. Mm-hmm. I'd still pick him probably in my top receivers. Like, I'd still have him, you know, for redraft at the tail end of the first round, maybe the second round. I'm not saying that they're bad by any means, or I would avoid them, but I could just see a little regression.
I think a couple risers here. I actually think Michael Pittman is going to be better this upcoming year. He finished last year as the wide receiver 23, according to this sleeper. I'm looking at sleeper right now. And, you know, just horrible, horrible quarterback play last year from the Colts. And Pittman, big-bodied guy, fast guy, good for the jump ball. What does Anthony Richardson do? He throws the piss out of a ball. He throws it so fucking hard and so fucking high. So I think Michael Pittman, I mean, will he be a top 10? Probably not. But, I mean, top 16, 15. Yeah, I could see that easily happening. And then obviously with my rise of Derek Carr, I think Olave, who finished last year at 25, he only played 15 out of 17 games, but he still finished with 1,000 yards and 4 touchdowns. And then I mean, I'll believe it when I see it, but Michael Thomas is allegedly healthy. So
he might be allegedly if he plays more than 2 games.
I don't believe you. I don't believe this at all.
But I mean, with Derek Carr, who, you know, he's been able to sustain top running back. Well, actually did sustain a top running back with Josh Jacobs, but he's been able to sustain a top wide receiver and a top tight end in future past. You know, like there was the year where Hunter Renfro was like a wide receiver, like 9, and Darren Waller was like the tight end 2, you know, so he's good at hucking and spreading the ball around. So I think Chris Olave, you know, 25 at wide receiver, 25 last year, I think that's his floor. Would you be shocked if, you know, Chris Olave ended the year with 1,200 yards, 8 touchdowns, and he's like the wide receiver, like 11? Like, no, I could easily see that. He's so fucking good.
Yeah. I agree with you.
I'll keep it in the same division for a riser, as much as it pains me to say this. But Drake London finished outside of the top 30 last year. I mean, he had Marcus Mariota as a quarterback. Will Ritter be any better? Who the hell really knows? We haven't seen him yet, but
can't get much worse.
Yeah, right. And Drake London's pretty damn good. Coming into his sophomore year, you know, you typically start to see receivers, you know, end of the first year, second year, even into the third year where they have their breakout. I think if Ritter plays well, I think he's primed for a much better season than last year. I'd say probably like a high end wide receiver too. I don't think I'd throw him into the wide receiver 1 range quite yet. But I mean, he has an outside chance of finishing as a wide receiver 1, in my opinion.
I agree with you. I had 2 guys that I was going to say, and London was one of them. So we are 1-for-1 so far on stealing each other's boys. But I got one other guy. I got one other guy. And I think that just in light of the situation, it's what's given me the most intrigue about him. And I'm talking about Adam Thielen. Adam Thielen went from being a number 2 behind Justin Jefferson, who, let's just take a look at how many targets he got.
He's pretty good.
184 targets.
Yeah, he's pretty good at football.
Listen, Thielen is a very, very solid wide receiver, and he's now the number 1 option on a rookie quarterback's team. He's going to sink in on him, I think, and Thielen is going to really start to make – he's kind of make or break Bryce Young. If he's a good – if he can play to the capabilities that we've seen from him, if he's catching double-digit touchdowns like he was in 20 and 21, this kid could – or kid, he's 32. But again, he's not built on speed or any of that shit either. He's just a good, solid wide receiver that runs great routes and is going to be the guy that's there for the young quarterback. And I think it's going to be like a guy who has a solid tight end, right? It's just the safety net. He's going to be the safety net for Bryce Young. And it's going to be huge for fantasy purposes for Thielen.
One more I wanted to bring up. Deontay Johnson for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He finishes the wide receiver 39. So he was a wide receiver 4 last year. But he had 0 touchdowns. And Kenny Pickett had a rough rookie year. You know, it is what it is. But it can't get much worse. And Deontay Johnson is such a good football player. Like, he is so goddamn good. It's kind of like he reminds me of Terry McLaurin in a sense, where it's like if he was on a different team with a more capable quarterback, you know, he would be in the conversations of the, you know, Stephon Diggs and the Cooper Cups and like just those stud fucking wide receivers. And I love Deontay. And there's no way he finishes, you know, lower. I mean, unless he obviously pending injury, but you can say about anybody.
Right.
But there's no way. I mean, although like this is just how bad Pickett was last year. Deontay Johnson, he had 147 targets, which isn't bad, but only 86 catches. So that's pretty rough. You know, he only had 882 yards, 10 yards per catch, which is nice, but 0 touchdowns. So there's no way. He's too talented to not score. And I think Pittsburgh's going to be a much better team this upcoming season. That's why I also like Najee Harris. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got one more riser for you, and it's another similar situation where the guy didn't play the whole season, but sophomore breakout candidate, But he's also the only guy on the team. Treylon Burks. I
love Burks.
Really foresee him finishing outside of a wide receiver too. He finished outside of it this last year because of injuries and not the most playing time early in the season. But he's their only threat. You want to hear the rest of their wide receivers? Let me look here real quick. Let me tell you.
You're it's to, like three dudes that I've never heard of. It's like Kyle Nick Phillips.
Westbrook, Akine, Kyle yeah. Phillips, Colton Dowell. Like, there's a bunch of people that you never fucking heard of, dude.
These are all guys that work for.
The only guy.
They're going to be working for Enterprise Rental Car here soon. So just.
Well, they yeah. give you the tools, though, to be your own boss.
That's true. So. You know what's funny? Like, Tennessee, man, like, just give D-Hop some money. Like, you clearly need help. I don't know if that fixes the team.
That would impact Treylon probably a little bit, but no, it won't fix the team. That's probably why they don't do it. They probably don't even want to win right now. They're like, fuck it, just let us lose.
That makes the most sense because, you know, Will Levis, I think, is going to be a good NFL quarterback, and I think he has a very good landing spot in Tennessee. You know, the young wide receiver like Treylon Burks, who you can grow with. But yeah, I would just be shitty. And then, you know, maybe you get Marvin Harrison Jr. next year in the draft.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Could you imagine the two of them well, across from each other?
Speaking of the Titans, Hassan Haskins is a piece of shit. Did you see that?
And what'd he do? Mm-mm. Did he beat up somebody?
He beat the shit out of his girlfriend, and then she beat the shit out of him. So he's probably going to get cut from the team.
That's nice. Good for him.
Solid.
Although, you know what's funny? You know, domestic violence, you only get a 4-game suspension, but if you bet, like, on DraftKings, you can get fucking an entire season. So,
for your team, dude, I was wondering about that.
You know, that guy on the Colts?
Yeah, they got cut. The Colts cut him. Like, fuck off.
Yeah. Isaiah Rogers, yeah.
Yeah. No, here's the thing, though. The NFL already came out and said that there's more coming. Like, they already know of more players that were betting either at the facility or betting on football. And it kind of makes it nerve-wracking for fantasy drafts that are, especially, like, you know, like the ones that are coming up soon. Like, who else is going to get, you know, put on the chopping block?
Why don't they just say it?
They probably informed a player first and investigate and all that. Verify? I don't know.
They probably have to prove that they did it. Yeah. Although, now that I know that that's the case, I'm going to start a DraftKings account under the name of Patrick Mahomes.
Wouldn't that be fun hilarious if you did that and they got suspended?
Make a couple bets.
Just go to their practice facility and make a couple bets on some baseball games. So it's like you're at a facility.
I'm like, fuck. Oh, man, Patrick, why are you betting on the Kansas City Royals, bro? Like, it's like one part owner, you know, and I'm trying to support my team. But then it's like, nah. And then the Chargers can win the AFC West, and then we go on to the Super Bowl. Yeah. That's how we do it. We got to get Patrick Mahomes out. Although, actually, no. I need Patrick Mahomes because he's probably going to be my number one overall pick in Scott Fishbowl.
Mm. This is tough. You're in a dilemma. Tough.
It's like, do I want a Chargers Super Bowl, or do I want to win the Scott Fishbowl?
Both. You can't.
And then risers and fallers for tight end. Gross. The only player I will bring up is Cole Kmet was a top tight end. He's a tight end one. They brought in Robert Tonyan. Not that Robert Tunyon's great, but that's going to eat into some of Kmet's. Plus, he had like 10 touchdowns or some shit like that. That's not going to happen again. So, Chiga Conquo, he finishes the tight end 20 something. He'll probably end as the tight end 18.
Here, I'll give you one. This is the only thing I'm going to say about tight ends, okay? Because it just there's no way he can be this fucking bad. There's one guy that's going to be better than he was. I can't even say. I just scrolled down like three times, and I found out Kyle Pitts. He's going to go up. This is the only way he can go. If he doesn't, go fuck yourself, kid. You got to do something. The fuck is wrong with this guy?
What? Yeah, what? How did he finish last year?
He finished 25 or something like that. 33.
Ew.
33. Now, he played 10 games because he got hurt or whatever, but he's played in 27 games and he has 3 touchdowns.
Terrible.
So step it up, motherfucker. Get above a fucking whatever the hell, 33. What was he year one?
He actually didn't have a bad
tight end 6. You know, he had 1,000 yards, but only 1 touchdown. Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, yeah, Kyle Pitts, the only way to go is be up. Better.
That's certainly the case. And there's like some other tight ends like that, like they could be better. Like, but it's you're taking such a shot in the dark at this point. It's like whatever.
Trey and I don't McBride think Taysom Hill, good.
Like Trey McBride,
I don't think Taysom Hill is a tight end one next year.
You don't think so? I disagree.
Well, I don't know, man. They brought in Troutman and Juwan Johnson.
No, Troutman went to the.
Oh, he went to the Broncos.
The Broncos.
Did you go to the Broncos? Yeah.
Yeah. But Taysom Hill's not scoring tight. Like, he's not a tight end. He just is. You put him in tight end position.
Yeah, he's a quarterback, but you line him up as tight end.
You get your value out of him from his rushing touchdowns. And his. That's pretty much it. Like,
he might be a good sleeper pick in the late rounds for Scott Fishbowl.
Mm hmm.
Just saying. Listeners,
yeah, but
if you're listening,
it just depends how shitty every other tight end is. That's the only thing that's going to hold Taysom Hill back. Because Taysom Hill's usage.
When I was just looking at like the top 12 tight ends, I was like, yeah, these are going to be the same 12 guys next year.
Like, mm-hmm. It might be a different order, but it'll be some order of Kelsey and then everybody else after him.
Yep.
Unless Kelsey, something happens to him.
He was betting. Pretty much it.
I need him to be healthy. Yeah. I need him to be healthy because I get Kelsey's points. Through transmutative properties of being Patrick Mahomes' manager in Scott Fishbowl.
Mm-hmm.
And you picking at four, Kelsey might be your number one pick.
Oh, and the Saints got Foster Moreau, who just had cancer.
So oh, that guy.
I don't know if he'll come back like right away or not. I guess he's in remission or whatever, but I still like Trey McBride. I don't know if he'll do it. You know, don't know if he'll be a thing. I think we saw him for like not very much last year, but he was behind Zach Ertz, but he could be a thing too.
All right. We got a little bit of time here.
I'm going to give up on Herb Smith though. I used to be big on the Herb Smith train, but I don't think
it's going to be a thing. He can't stay healthy.
Yeah. I liked him too, but oh well.
All right. I got a couple listener questions for you boys. We kind of talked about a little bit, but we'll talk about him again. What are your expectations for Cooper Kupp this upcoming season?
He's going to be the wide receiver 5.
So you still think 1,000 plus 10 touchdowns, 10 plus touchdowns?
Yep.
Yeah, he's so good.
I still think he's going to be in the top 5. Let me look here real quick. Yeah, 5. 5 is where I put him too. I mean, Jefferson, Diggs, and AJ Brown. And Hill might be ahead of him. I think that's really it.
It's hard to argue. Who has the best hands in the NFL right now?
Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
JJ. Yeah. I don't even think it's close.
Well, you know Devontae Adams is probably close, but like JJ's younger. I don't know.
Like the question I see a lot, I'll even ask you guys just because I see this question all the time. Who do you take, Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson? I was like, Justin Jefferson's the better wide receiver.
Yes.
He's so fucking good.
Correct.
Like, other than size, to me, he's like the closest thing we have to Calvin Johnson in today's NFL.
Justin Jefferson or Jamar Chase?
Or Jamar Chase.
Justin Jefferson has had the most impressive 3-year start to a career that has ever been seen, I think. 1,400 yards, 7 touchdowns.
Than like Jerry Rice and shit. Yeah.
Yeah. 1,600 yards, 10 touchdowns. 1,800 yards and 8 touchdowns. What the fuck are we talking about? There's nobody close. It's not even close. He's 24 years old. All he has to do, and can he keep that up? I don't see what's going to change. They've got the same fucking team around him. Unless Dalvin Cook was somehow the fucking linchpin to him making catches, which I highly doubt. But man, this is...
Well, and it's not like you can say he doesn't have a... Like, there's a new rookie receiver across from him. But he had Thielen across from him before, who was just fine as a second receiver. It's not like he's the only target, right? Like,
yeah.
He's just that much better.
Agreed.
Yeah. Who do you think lands DeAndre Hopkins?
As an owner and him having possible keeper ties to me, I would love it if he ended up in Kansas City. That being said... He is probably going to end up being a Patriot.
gross. That the only thing that bothers me about that is like how he says that he wants to play for a contender. It's like, then go to Buffalo or go to Kansas City. Like, what do you like? Go to the Eagles. Like, what do you mean? There's like there's only three contenders in the fucking league. Like, where? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I know this isn't going to happen, but you know what I wish would happen? This is going to sound shitty to say, but I kind of wish it would happen at this point. I wish you just fucking retire, dude.
You motherfucker.
Like, these like points in time for like receivers and running backs where they're just like bouncing from team to team trying to hang on. It's like the most depressing thing about football. It's like, dude, just fucking, he'd probably still be just great on a team, but it's like, hang it up, man. You know, like, it's the beginning of the end. We don't need to witness your demise as you fucking blow out your knee three more times in the next 6 years. I think Tennessee might make a push for him. I don't think he would want to go there, though. It'd probably be the fucking Patriots or something.
To me, my thought is, if you visit a team and leave without an offer, it's usually not a good thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, when a team invites a player out, they've already discussed with management, this is how much we're willing to offer him for this many years and this range of money. And let's just see how the visit goes. And then, so they already know, and you know, they don't just invite people out because they're just trying to waste people time. They're legit, you know, vetting these players. But then they see what they see. They have them work out. They do their interviews, and then they're like, okay, thank you. And then they leave, and they don't offer. That's usually not a good sign. You know, so.
Well, it's tricky too, because does he want, he's visited the Titans and the Patriots. Who else has he visited? Anybody else?
I think that's it.
Was it? Kay. Did he not visit Kansas City? I thought he did early on. I thought he was the first.
He may have. I don't remember.
I don't remember.
But like, the Patriots are the only ones that gave him an offer so far. And does he want to play for contender? Like, if he wants to play for a contender, I'd much rather see that than like go. Like, does he want to play for a contender, or does he want to be the number one target on a team?
Who's That's to the say question. The Patriots aren't a contender?
The NFL.
Yeah, the NFL is to say that.
Let me ask you a question. Ask you a question. Do they still have a great defense?
Yeah, but
is it still probably the best defense in the league?
But they're the third best team in their division.
Are they?
Possibly fourth.
Are they?
Yes. With Buffalo, Miami.
They suck. Buffalo sucks.
Buffalo sucks.
You suck.
I watched you eat French fries this entire show. You suck. Actually, that was fun. I enjoyed that. I'm more just jealous.
You want to see some good fried chicken? I'll show you what good fried chicken looks like. Look at this.
What's the name of this restaurant?
This is Gus's world famous fried chicken.
Shout out to Gus's. That looks beautiful.
Shout out to Gus's. They're fucking delish delash. I'm going to fucking indulge. I just didn't want to mash all of you guys while we're fucking doing the show.
I wouldn't hate it.
Shit gets messy.
No, because that's what we put on the OnlyFans. Watch Rome take a shirt off and eat chicken.
Watch Rome get greasy with some chicken.
Yeah, that's what the people really want. Give the people what they want. But, well, I think this is a good spot to wrap it up. We'll be back soon. We'll talk hot and bothered. We're going to do some mock drafts. If we're not so lazy, maybe we'll try to get some friends of the show onto the and do some guest talks with us.
Hell yeah.
See, my thing is that I want to show up to your party. I don't want to host the party. Like, come to my, like, I'm going to go to your house. Don't come to my house. You know, like, it's easier. That's why, like, last year I did a bunch of guest spots in other shows because I don't do any work. You just send me the link and I log into your fucking thing. So much easier that way.
But we'll have to do it one day anyways, though.
I know. You know what? Actually, with that being said, listeners, again, disappointed in you. Tell your friends, you sons of bitches. If you want more hot content, tell your friends. That's how we grow. I want to make money on the show so I can quit my actual job and I can just stay indoors, gain more weight, get more sweaty. But I have a bidet, so I'll be all right. you know?
You'd be clean where it counts.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the body's fat and sweaty, but that asshole is clean.
It's just so clean. You could lick it. Oh, yep. It's the cleanest.
Exactly. But anyways, thanks for listening. Well, I apologize for our lack of consistency, but life happens. But we're kind of back. We're semi-back.
It was the off-season.
Actually, back. You know what? I will say this.
Off for a reason.
Yeah. Shout out to Eddie. Eddie just joined the soup kitchen. He's one of our new best friends. Eddie's going to be our audio engineer.
Hell
so
yeah.
That's exciting for us. So the show's growing.
Yeah, we're assembling. He's going to do better than I was, so we'll be all right.
Well, to be fair, Fish, we had a show that was ready to go, and then you went on vacation and like completely forgot about it.
Yeah, I did.
But so shout out to Eddie. I love you, Eddie. I don't even know if you're listening right now because you're probably tired of hearing us for the last like hour. But probably. If you are, we love you. You're a fun yes. man. Thank you
yes,
for joining
sir.
Us.
Happy but to again, have you
there. We love the support. We appreciate you guys. Get us on social medias. The show Twitter's at Filthy F-Ball Show. You can get Big Rome at Big Rome FFF. And get the Fantasy Fish at F Football Fish. Instagram us at Filthy Fantasy Football Show. And send in your emails to filthyfantasyfootballshow@gmail.com. And again, thank you. I love you. King Josh the King.
Big Rome.
Fantasy Fish.
Have a good one, y'all.